Today is the culmination of our journey through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And in the closing verses of this epistle, Paul reminds me of the folks who gave us a series of books called Chicken Soup for the Soul. However, I would like to say it's Chicken Soup for the Church. If the Church of Jesus Christ were just to live by the words that Paul gives us at the end of this epistle, the Church of Jesus Christ would be a lighthouse to the world. These are precious jewels, folks. Grasp them. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Here is my personal take on those words of Paul for today, right here, right now, in Covenant Fellowship. I do feel honored by you. I feel loved by you. I am humbled by that. I believe that you hold me in high regard, and that is a blessing to me. You love me in many ways, and I want to thank you for that. And as far as I have seen, you also hold your other leaders in high regard here. You love them, and you respect them, and you encourage them. I have not heard grumbling, complaining, accusations against the leaders of this church. I have heard some comments about some of the character flaws and the personality quirks that are in me and in some of the other goofballs who have been leaders of this church. But I have seen an abundance of love for one another, including the goofballs. Paul would say, well done, Covenant Fellowship. And I want to say the same thing. Well done. And thank you. Now, this is my personal take on some other churches that I have experienced in my 7 decades. I have seen pastor after pastor burn out for lack of respect. I have seen elders and deacons and committee members dry up and shrivel up and give up because some people, some of the citizens of the kingdom of God, just love to criticize and attack and undermine and demoralize their church leaders. The church is as susceptible to this kind of behavior as chickens are in a chicken coop. Peck, peck, peck. You've seen it. I've seen it. I've lived through it. God says, respect your leaders. Love your leaders and live in peace with your leaders. Can you imagine how much more effective all the churches in the world would be if we were just to learn to do that? Live in peace with one another. That is one of God's precious jewels. Live in peace with one another. God's Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to say that to us. That is chicken soup for the church. What's next? In Paul's closing comments in verse 14, he said, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Wow. That's a full-time job description right there. That's an amazing list. Let's start with warning those who are idle. The word warn is used several times in the Bible. And it carries with it a very important characteristic, and that is this: gentleness. gentleness. We are not called to shove it down one another's throats. We are called to take one another by the hand and to help one another in this area. In what area? In idleness. What is idleness? Now, here is something very interesting. The Greek word is akatos. For some reason that I do not understand, our modern translations render that word idle. Those who are idle. Warn those who are idle. However, the King James translation is, in my opinion, more accurate.
Amen. It's typical. Amen.
Of the original word. And here is what the King James says. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Unruly. In the sense of being insubordinate. In the sense of being disorderly. If we have anyone in this church who is insubordinate or disorderly, I am not aware of it. Hallelujah. May it continue that way. World without end, amen and amen. But I am warning you, if anybody in this church becomes unruly, I will sink Judy hooks on you and you'll never be the same.
Amen.
Amen. We've been warned. Paul said, warn the idle and encourage the timid. The Greek word for timid is a tongue twister word. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce it. But here is an example where the King James is wrong and throws us a curve. Yes, imagine. Instead of using the word timid, the King James says, comfort the feeble-minded. A modern mind might hear that and think that we're supposed to comfort the mentally retarded among us. And of course, we are supposed to do that. But a better modern understanding is that we are to encourage those who are faint-hearted, timid, or shy about sharing their faith. Now, spiritual timidity is a quality that I do see in some of us in our fellowship. Some of us are timid and some of us are shy when it comes to sharing our faith and talking to other people about Jesus. It's your nature. If we were to try to make you feel guilty about that, the reaction that you would probably have is to become more timid and more intimidated. Our job is not to intimidate you. Our job is to encourage you. Encourage you. So, I want to encourage you now. If you are in the camp that I just described, I want to encourage you to take some little steps in the direction of sharing your faith. Here is a suggestion. Find someone with whom you feel very safe. It could be your spouse. It could be some other brother or sister in this room. And just share with them out loud what your faith means to you. That may be outside your comfort zone, but you know what would happen? You will grow much taller in your confidence, and you will discover joy in the Lord that's all inside there that you need to get out. It will increase. Just take little steps, and then bigger steps will come. Warn the idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Now that one is pretty straightforward. All of us at one time or another are weak in our faith. All of us know people who are weak in their faith or go through a season in their life when there is a time of weakness in their faith. It happens to everyone. And one of the big problems with that is our pride. We do not want other people to know that we are weak in our faith. So we have all become pretty good at hiding it. God gives discernment to those who are strong in their faith and they can see right through it. When your faith, brothers and sisters, is strong, help the weak to get through their season of weakness in their faith. That is another precious jewel. It will make the church more mature, and it is a blessing because we are called to help one another. Help one another. Verse 15, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. That sounds so much like the Sermon on the Mount. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this in Matthew 5:38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's called the Lex Talionis, and it is the oldest written law in history. It was written 2,285 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. It was born out of disorderliness in society. Discord in society. Do we have any discord in our society today? What about in the church? Do we have any discord in the church, the capital C church today? Of course, the sad answer is yes, it is. Lots of people in society and in the church are like the old crow who wanted to protect his territory. I've told you this story before. I'm going to tell it to you again. Every day, this irritable old crow would fly around his neighborhood and he would do battle with any other crow that would dare come close by. And every day when he would fly back to his perch, he was exhausted and he was covered with blood. And the people would watch him in total amazement. Why? Because every day that old crow flew to the same house and attacked his own reflection in the window. I hope we never have any old crows in here, now or in the future. An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. It sounds like the theme song from a pirate ship, doesn't it? Arg! Eye for eye. Back to the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. This is Jesus talking. Do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, give him your cloak also. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Paul put it this way in 1 Thessalonians. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always be kind to one another and to everyone else, he said. That is yet another precious jewel. Be kind to one another and to everyone else. Someone said this, kindness is a language that the dumb can speak, the deaf can hear, and the blind can see. Be kind to one another. Now Paul continues, and now he gives us what is probably the most challenging precious jewel in this entire passage. I suspect every one of you knows these immortal words. They are a great example of words that are much easier to say than they are to do. Here goes, verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Try sharing those words with the people in this story. A woman was sitting on her living room sofa, and somehow a little snake got into the house and slithered right past her feet. She screamed and she dashed for the bathroom to get her husband He was in the shower. He grabbed a towel and a broom, and she went into the bedroom and slammed the door. The husband poked the broom under the couch to try to get the snake to come out. And meanwhile, the family dog, who heard all of this commotion, came out, and he touched his cold nose on the husband's foot. That startled him to death. He thought the snake had bitten him, and he passed out. The wife, hearing no more noise in the living room, came out to see what was happening. When she saw her husband lying on the floor, she called 911. The ambulance arrived, and they put the husband's naked body on the stretcher. And at that moment, the snake decided to come out from under the couch. And one of the paramedics was so startled that he dropped the stretcher. And the naked husband fell off the stretcher and broke his arm. And the wife saw her husband on the floor and the snake crawling out the door, and she fainted. It was just another bad day. Have any of you ever had a bad day? Have any of you ever had a bad week? Have any of you ever had a bad year? You do not want to hear these words, but you need to hear these words. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We all know this. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. Happiness is, but joy is not. Covenant fellowship is called to be a joyful family, regardless of the circumstances. To be a praying family, regardless of the circumstances. To be a thankful family of God, regardless of the circumstances. Those are precious jewels of God. Joy, prayer, gratitude. In the very next verse, Paul adds this: do not put out the Spirit's fire. Now, fire in the Bible is often symbolic, and frequently it symbolizes and refers to the presence of God. Just think about some of the instances, like the burning bush, or the Shekinah glory of God, or the pillar of fire during the Exodus, or the tongues of fire at Pentecost. Fire in the Bible brought God's presence and God's passion and God's purity to the people. You need to be on fire for God and to keep that fire burning. How? By polishing the precious jewels that He gives to us. Be joyful. Pray. And give thanks. Each one of those is like a bellows that feeds a fire and keeps it going. Have you ever encountered a Christian who seemed to be a member of the bucket brigade? They just seem to carry around a bucket of cold water and throw it on everything all the time. You know what? I have found myself doing that. Because my personality, my bent in life, is to analyze things and research things and sometimes overthink. Elizabeth, don't say a word. I do not ever want to quench the Holy Spirit's fire in my life, or in your life, or in the life of this church, and neither do you. I know that. So let's recommit to being a joyful church, a joyful church family, and a family that prays. In the next verse, verse 20, Paul says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. Paul was talking about the supernatural Holy Spirit gift of prophesying. Now let's generalize the phrase this way. Do not treat the gifts of the Holy Spirit with contempt. I came from a background that said all the gifts of the Holy Spirit were for then and not for now. Later in my life, I migrated to a different church family, and they said, oh no, wrong. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are just as much for now as they were for then. And one of the things that I discovered about both camps was contempt for one another. Like the chicken coop, peck, peck, peck. One of the fastest ways to quench the Holy Spirit of God is to look at other Christians who may have a different theological point of view about something than you do, and to hold them in contempt. It happens all the time. It has happened throughout history, and it will continue to happen because we are territorial. Peck, peck, peck. None of us has all the answers. None of us. None of us has a corner on perfection. All of us love God, and God loves all of us. That's good news, isn't it? That's also a precious jewel. In verse 21, Paul gives us the handles that we need in order to keep all this in perspective. He said this, test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Those are really precious jewels. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. And you know what? If we were to do all that, we will be a joyful church. We won't be able to help it. Thank God for the precious jewels that Paul gave us at the end of this letter. They are wonderful. And then it brings us to the close of 1 Thessalonians, verse 23. What an appropriate way for him to close his letter, and what an appropriate way for us to come to the end of our journey through 1 Thessalonians. It is a benediction. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your faithfulness. May we be faithful to you and live our lives that they bring glory to Jesus Christ. I pray in his name. Amen.